All right. Thank you, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. You guys ready? Get back there? Perfect. Okay. My name is Shawn Severson, founder and CEO of Water Tower Research. And next up, we have North Star Clean Technologies. And presenting today for the company is Aidan Mills, CEO. And let me start by a brief overview of the company, and then we'll jump into some questions. I would like to leave some time for questions from the audience as well. So we'll move through them quickly if we can. Clean technology pioneer transferring asphalt shingles. I believe you have a prop with you today to show.
Yes, exactly.
They're a Vancouver-based clean technology company. They were founded in 2015 and specialize in the sustainable recovery and reprocessing of asphalt shingles. The company has developed a revolutionary approach to addressing significant environmental challenge of asphalt shingles. Typically ends up in landfills. I think we've all seen that. If you ever put on a new roof, you wonder where your shingles go. Well, they go into a dump or a landfill, and these guys have a very innovative process technology for managing that. So I'll start with just want to tell a little bit about yourself and how you came to the company and the background, then we'll run into questions.
Sure. So Aidan Mills, CEO. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite. You're looking forward to meeting people here today. So as you may hear from my accent, I'm actually not from Canada, originally from Ireland, and would have, unfortunately for everybody in the room, will be supporting Europe in the Ryder Cup this weekend, not the US. It's pretty close. So I worked for BP, the oil company, for kind of nearly 20 years, engineer by trade, and then moved into the marketing and trading part of the business, an origination of essentially the commodity side of the business. So came to the U.S. to Chicago, and then went up to Calgary in Canada. Ran the marketing and trading business for BP in Canada. My wife's a teacher, so when our oldest son hit high school age, she said, "Okay, we need to stop moving." And so then we settled in Calgary. I then worked for Husky, the oil company, and Goldman Sachs as well. I was the MD for commodity sales for North America to those guys, and then back into the oil industry. And one of the reasons, kind of the background with respect to North Star is, so when I left the oil industry or kind of, you know, left MEG, one of the things that I was really interested in was, what are we really doing with energy transition? Like, and, you know, there have been lots of smart ideas with respect to energy transition. And it's not about, and my view is that it's not about just recycling, but there are some things that are going on that just are absolutely overwhelming in terms of, like, doing something about it. So this is a shingle tile, and the amount of shingles, so 16.5 million tons of shingles go into landfill every year, which is an insane figure. Because a shingle tile is about 25% asphalt, about 50% sand, and about 25% fiberglass. So that's equivalent to 20 million barrels of oil a year goes into landfill because of shingle tile. And so North Star, when I joined the company, you know, 4 years ago, we've developed a technology that splits this up into its individual component parts. And that's the real benefit because... And so if you think about one of our facilities, you know, anywhere between 40 to 80,000 tons a year we can process, we'd have to build 400 plants across North America, and that's the size of this market.
And today it's only, what, low single digits, it's actually recycled, so it's a huge TAM that's
right.
Available, right?
Exactly.
6-7% of the total market.
It's absolutely huge. Absolutely.
And interesting, you speak about the modular side of this. So I guess if you could walk everybody through the process of what happens to a shingle when somebody replaces a roof, say it goes into a truck, into a landfill.
Right.
But what would happen in your process or when you insert yourself into the ecosystem here?
Yeah, so the way that we think about this, and it also kind of drives the revenue from the company, is so exactly that. So the tiles come off, the shingles come off your roof and into the dumpster. And then we negotiate either with the company that's collecting those or the roofer. And instead of going to the landfill and paying the fee to the landfill, we will discount that landfill fee and they'll bring it to us.
You're getting paid a tipping fee to take them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you look at our revenue and you know, if you look on our deck on the website, you'll see about 35% comes from the tipping fee you know, that we get from, so we get paid for our feedstock, which is fantastic from an oil and gas perspective, because I've never been paid for my feedstock in my career. So it's a fantastic thing, right? So yes, so then what happens is the tile comes in and then it gets ground up. And the first stage takes off the sand, the aggregate. The second stage takes off the fiberglass and the limestone. And then the last stage produces the oil.
It's pelletized.
And then we turn those into pellets. Yeah. And so the really good thing about this is not only is the oil very high quality. Oh, and so table six, if anybody wants to.
Yeah, I'm going to try. So.
If anybody wants to come and see this.
Don't add it to your food. Yeah.
So the really good thing about this is it's extremely high quality. And so, and we'll talk about our investors in a little bit, but essentially this can go back into shingle manufacturing. So Tamco, one of the big U.S. shingle manufacturers, owns about 20% of the company through the preferred equity. It owns about 20% of Northstar. And they have proven that this can remake shingles. So all of the, so there's no waste that comes from the facility. All of the products that come out have got industrial applications. So that's the beauty about it, because nothing goes to landfill, and we take the tile, divert it from landfill, and basically produce high quality oil.
And one of the things that ties in, we'll talk a little bit about the capital structure and the growth, but this becomes a modular business, right? A cookie cutter business,
right,
in the sense that you don't want to be shipping shingles 300 miles by truck,
exactly,
to a recycling center, so, or
right,
one of your processing centers. So needs to be in close proximity to larger,
yeah,
metropolitan areas or population areas. Is that the?
Yeah. So I got a bit of a joke at the end of last year where I said we were going to be the Tim Hortons of asphalt shingle recycling, which of course it would be Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts equivalent for, yeah, for non-Canadians.
For non-Canadians. But yeah, basically if a city has kind of 1.5 to 2 million people, it will produce enough shingles coming off roofs for us to put a facility. So if we run just the base case, and a facility is about $25 million Canadian, so you know, way cheaper in the US, of course. So $25 million Canadian, and that's $20 million of capital, $5 million of associated costs, so roughly. And if we build a facility that just runs day shift, it should kick out a revenue of about $10 million and a EBITDA of $5 million. But if we can run it 24/7, if there's enough shingles in the city, and there's no additional capital, it's just a night, we just add the night shift, mm-hmm, then it will kick out $20 million of revenue and $10 million of EBITDA. So a great return. And when we think about cities, we think about what's the asphalt price, what's the tipping fee, but also can we deploy an 80,000 ton facility? That's one of the critical points for the new facilities. And where we're at is, so the really good thing about the story is this is absolutely the tipping point. And one of the reasons that, you know, we've chatted about it, one of the reasons I'm here is, so the Calgary facility has now been constructed, it's been commissioned, and it's literally starting to ramp up production. So this isn't about a technology play anymore.
Right.
This is literally about how fast can they roll these out.
It's a commercialization strategy.
Exactly.
Right, a rollout of commercialization. Yeah.
And the most important thing from the commercialization strategy, and why I'm here obviously at the conference and chatting to US investors, is we expect, you know, during this quarter to announce our first U.S. location. Mm-hmm. So we picked the state, we picked the city, we picked the site. We just need the landlord at the site to finalize the negotiations with those guys, and then it'll be announced. But literally the next facility as well, next two facilities, one will be in Hamilton near Toronto, and the next, at the same time, we will build in the U.S. Because this, as you can imagine, of the 16.5 million tons destined for landfill, 1.5 in Canada and 15 in the U.S. So this is a U.S. story in terms of our commercialization strategy.
What's intrigued me about it is there is, doesn't seem to be a lot of inherent risk in this, because you have known economics from the plants, you know where the sites are, you know the costs, you know the returns. What am I missing, or what investors should be thinking about in this, in the rollout? Is it access to capital? What's the...
Well, I mean, I think the way that we think about this space, the waste to value space, as you know, the multiple roughly is about 10.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think if we can build an 80,000 ton facility and we can generate $10 million of EBITDA, in theory, every time we add a plant,
yeah,
we should add $100 million.
You can build that model too.
And it's incredibly deployable. So the only thing that you really need to make sure that you're doing is that state by state have different permitting rules. So the only constraint about almost unleashed rollout is permitting. It takes about a year, takes about 6 months to build a plan, about a month to commission it. So as long as we have the pipeline ready to go, and that's obviously as part of the commercialization, that's what we're developing, is what that pipeline looks like. I mean, it's sort of rinse and repeat. It's literally like building a Dunkin' Donuts in every single city that we can go to. And because of the market size, there are 400 plants to build. So it's a very, very deployable and modular model.
Nothing in the procurement of the equipment that you need. It's off-the-shelf stuff or long lead times that need to worry about for rollouts.
We have technologies and we've got great exclusive relationship with technology vendors. And the longest lead item is probably in kind of 9 months. But what we've done is with those vendors, we've kind of said, okay, well, here's what our ordering schedule is going to look like. So yeah, long lead, probably 6 to 9 months.
And I think the intent is to own and operate each of these facilities. Then are you looking at partnerships or anything else?
Yep. So the own and operate for us is absolutely the way to do it, because we think that, retains technology advantage, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, ultimately when we've built, so for example, if somebody has a facility in a state that doesn't have high tipping fees, it has a low asphalt price, it wouldn't be on our top, 50 of the 400, if it's like 399. So we think once we built kind of 3 to 5 of these, that actually licensing may also work as well for states where we wouldn't otherwise go, or partners want to license. But I think we need to probably get to kind of 5 plants and then literally have the Dunkin' Donuts model ready to roll out. And then we may consider. We've also looked internationally as well. And there are opportunities to do that too, either as JVs or potentially as a licensing model.
And I assume as these roll out, you get through these first couple, and the cost of capital goes down to the ability to use debt, using other things to finance these.
Right.
Opens up for you, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've been innovative in the structure. We have debt lenders who are already signed up for the next plants. There's some really interesting debt structures as well. But ultimately, we think that kind of, after 3 or 4 plants, in theory, this will be a self-funding model when you add kind of efficient debt and a lower cost of capital to it as well. Yeah.
What's the competitive moat that you see here? Is it in the technology, the process, the first mover? I mean, if you talk to investors and say, we have an advantage here, here's why.
Well, The market size, from an investor perspective, it's like, number one, what's the size of the market? Number two, there are no competitors today that are deploying this technology. And number three, it's where we take the technology. So some people are looking at technologies to take the shingle tile and partially process it.
Right.
Nobody is taking it to final product. Right. Nobody today is doing that. Now, to solve a 16.5 million ton problem, you need more than one company to do it. So we always welcome when people are talking about their ideas and how they're going to do it. The advantage that we have is it's modular. It's like a Dunkin' Donuts. It can literally be deployed in a city. It diverts, up to 80,000 tons away. So the cities love it. The municipalities and the conversations we've had are like, okay, that's great. And we produce final product. Now, we have patents in place. We've got, in actual fact, we PR'd yesterday. We have a patent to take the limestone that gets added to the shingle manufacturers add to the asphalt. So we have aggregate, fiberglass, limestone, and it's a fourth product line. And nobody's doing that today. So that is our technology advantage. The other thing that I think as well is, we don't have to spend $250 million to build a facility. Like, they're $25 million. It's very, very efficient. Quick to build and coming to a city near you, right?
Yeah. I think if you look at the market, the roofing is a local business, generally, right? But companies like waste management are national, right? So who's the – when you look at these relationships going into a new city – Is there bigger picture things you can do with the waste management in terms of shingles, or do you have to really get into the local market and work
It's
almost city by city. So as you know, like some cities will have real consolidated where it's like GFL or Waste Management or Waste Connections who have all the collection. Some cities have just big roofing companies and they bring it all and they control it all themselves. So it's almost city by city is what you have to do. Certainly there's scope to have, you know, national conversations for sure. But ultimately, the collection itself is city by city, which is why we think the permitting and the local relationships. So the only constraint for how fast we can go is actually it's city by city, and there's no kind of rinse and repeat for every single city.
I know you said you're already looking at your first location in the U.S.
Yep.
I assume probably in the back of that you have other sites that
absolutely
are in your sites. Yeah.
Tamco, the big shingle manufacturer, you know, they've the shingle manufacturers themselves, ARMA, which is the American Roofing Manufacturing Association, that's got Tamco and ICO and CertainTeed and all those guys are in that, Owens Corning, are in that association. And they came out with a strategy that said they want to divert 50% of all shingles going to landfill away from landfill by 2035 and 100% by 2050. So they have a slight, obviously nervous about a bit like plastics where you have a mandatory recycling figure. So the real advantage about the deal that we've done with Tamco is, you know, who are a pref share owner of Northstar, is that we signed an MOU with them for the first four US facilities. So the offtake is already guaranteed for those first four facilities and the pricing is already guaranteed and there's a cash flow break even floor pricing. So it's all well set up from a finance perspective. But that's the key is now rolling out. And the first plant we're supplying for them is Frederick in Maryland. So you can expect that, you know, it'll be in that area that we'll have our first plant. But they also have plants near Atlanta, near St. Louis, near Dallas. So as we think about, and we work with them to say, where's the best place to go for the first plant? Mm-hmm. And they said, Frederick. And so we're like, okay. So that's what we'll supply first.
Any questions from the audience?
Yes. So as you know, so we check as shingles come in if they have asbestos in it. As you know, those are, you know, probably 50-year-old tiles and very, very little of them left. But we check all the loads that come in with respect to asbestos, and we will not process shingles that have asbestos. Those get diverted, you know, to essentially to like secure landfills. But that's what we do. So we check it as it comes in. Well, I mean, I joined Northstar 4 years ago, and the figures directed to landfill were 12.5 million tons, and now it's over 15. So, you know, we see is increasing numbers going to landfill. So and if you think about 85% of all U.S. homes are shingle roofed, we think the solution is here to stay for a long, long time from a market perspective. For sure. Yep. So we look at, because the problem is so big from a shingle perspective, and because we have a technology that just addresses that, we're pretty ruthlessly focused on just shingles. You know, even flat roofing, I've been asked the question about, you know, the flat tar roofs that you get. And I'm like, well, we're not addressing that. Like, we're literally just addressing shingles. The one thing that's really interesting about a shingle, though, is if you think about demolition and houses being demolished, these come off first. literally the roof comes off first and it literally goes in. So we don't really ever have to worry about sorting it. So we don't have concrete. You know, it's not like when a house gets knocked down and you have to take the stuff from the rubble to separate it. This is really easy. It comes off first. As long as the roofers don't put washing machines, fir trees and baby's baths into the bin, then we're good. So very ruthlessly focused on just shingles. Yes. Oh, sorry. So the permitting process will have to be done for every single state and every single location. Yes. Yes, will have to be. So as you know, so the So we expect the permitting process, because we're light industrial, the permitting process takes approximately a year, roughly from when you apply. So we expect for the first US facility to essentially within weeks of the announcement, start the permitting process. So we expect to be constructing both the Hamilton facility and US number one by the end of next year. 6 months to build. So I would say, you know, first half of 27 for both of those plants to be operating. Yes. Absolutely. So it literally is like a Dunkin' Donuts. It's a complete rinse and repeat, exactly the same size. The only difference is if we have a 40,000 ton supply, we'll run it on day shift. If we have an 80,000 ton supply, same capital, we'll just run it on night shift. And if somebody comes to us for a city and we have 160,000 tons, we would just build two. So it's going to be exactly the same, rinse and repeat all the way through the yes.
What about the seasonality of roofing, right? So if you're where I live in Florida, people are ripping roofs off all year round. If you're up in Minnesota, you're not doing that in January, right?
No.
So how do you think about the plant locations, the strategy? Because obviously you're not going to be running the plants, if at all, in the winter months
areas. We'll run it 24/7 all through the year.
Really?
And what we'll do is we'll do inventory management of the feedstock.
Okay.
So in theory, each plant should have about a quarter's worth of tiles, because as you know, in Minnesota, it's going to be coming at us like, you know, like a tidal wave all through the summer months. And then we just build up an inventory. So when we do a bit to the permitting question, so when we do permitting, the waste management part of the permitting, we ask for the ability to store shingles for feedstock on the site. That's part of our permitting process that we would do with any state, is to be able to store.
You can level load throughout the year. Then.
Exactly. And then if interestingly, because asphalt price is lower in the winter, in theory, that's often when shingle manufacturers really want to buy asphalt, and they inventory store as well. So they store the oil. So really, it's a 365, it's 365 days a year operation. So we've got kind of three major kind of things we look at. So number one is the city big enough that we can run it 24/7? So can we have an 80,000 ton a year facility, is number one. Number two is, what is the tipping fee? So of course, if we're diverting away from landfill and we're getting paid the tipping fee, what's the tipping fee? And the third then is, what's the asphalt price? So, and those can vary massively. If you go to Vegas, the tipping fee is $10 a ton, right? If you go to Seattle, it's, you know, over 175 a ton. You know, highest asphalt price in Washington State versus close to the U.S. Gulf Coast. So lots of criteria that kind of go into that. And we have, you know, our top 10 next ranked cities. We're also influenced in the U.S., of course, by the TAMCO relationship, because, as I said, we've got four sites. Our next four sites in the U.S. will supply TAMCO. So close to their locations is something that we take into account, too, obviously, given they're a major partner.
Anything else from the audience in here? Okay, I'll just leave you with one last question. You know, investors looking out over the next 12 months or so, what kinds of things should they be looking for progress reports? We're looking for, you know, key catalysts or milestones.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that we're here is not only are we just about to announce US our plant or US one plant, but also this is the absolute tipping point of the story. So for the last 4 years, it's been a technology story as we, you know, people are waiting for this to operate, but Calgary is literally starting. So we're ramping up the Calgary production. And so now it moves from a technology story to, as we said, commercialization. How fast can we deploy? So the Calgary production announcement in this coming quarter, that'll be critical. I think the location of US plant one this quarter will be critical because it will say officially, right, we're heading to the US. And I think those are the two massive catalysts. We're ruthlessly focused on developing and getting the Calgary facility, you know, ramping up to operation. And at the same time, making sure the entry to the US works. So I think those are great. And if you think about, you know, a plant announcement and you think about, you know, the torque that has for the market cap, that's why I think we're at a massive inflection point with the stock.
Just the last question on Calgary. When can we expect to see actual economics out of that? So in other words, you can communicate to investors, this is the economics, this is what we said they're going to be, right, this is what they're producing.
So I think the ramp up, so the first target that we have to hit, so we were awarded money from the Alberta government, Emissions Reduction Alberta, and there were four milestones for that. So first one was engineering, second one was construction, and third one was commissioning, and fourth one's operation. So the commissioning milestone throughput is 80 tons a day. The capacity for the facility is about 150 tons a day. So I think we will, so the 80 ton a day target is Q4. Mm-hmm. I expect we will be up to, you know, full capacity in Q1. So I think we will see revenue results in Q4. And I think we will see, you know, indicative of what a plant should look like in Q1. So, great. So then, and then, you know, we have, it's exactly the same thing whereby, you know, if we're chatting to Detroit and the mayor of Detroit wants to come and see an operating facility, he can literally come, or she can literally come to Calgary to see an operating facility. So we've gone past the arm wavy CEO, believe me, this is great technology, to here's the stuff that's coming out the back.
And it'll enable investors to build a model and say,
absolutely.
So here's the plant, it's proven, the economics are here, here's what it's generating, right, here's the ROI, and then obviously it's just a matter of rollout.
Exactly, and so we'll understand that what the exact capital was for the first plant, mm-hmm, and how we're going, what the efficiency improvements are to make plant two cheaper, which of course, yep, it will be than plant one. You know, we'll be able to say, okay, we think we can construct this in X period of time. Mm-hmm. We think we can commission it Y period of time. Here's what it's kicking out. Here's what the yield looks like, and the model will be absolutely nailed by the end of Q1.
Great. Thank you, Aiden. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good.